roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George reporting for duty here on a Thursday. We have the devious ambassador Goz. He's going to join us as the show's in progress. But I wanted to start on time, just like we always do, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, with another edition of MMA Junkie Radio. On today's show, we are going to have Brendan Fitzgerald, UFC play-by-play man. He'll be joining us shortly. He'll be calling the action this week. It's called UFC on ESPN 21. In addition to that, we'll cover some of the latest news as well. Of course, there's always fight bookings going on, things of the like, all of the fun, you know, drama sometimes that comes along with the sport, along with the obviously the X's and O's. That's always fun to cover, the face punching, as we call it. So it's going to be a fun show. As always, you know, give us 10 seconds. We'll set our guest up. He's already on the on-deck circle, and during the interview, Goz will join me in progress, and then I'll tell you why Goz was unable to do the start of the interview, because we've not only booked, we're recording another legend-to-legend right now as this is happening, so one kind of run into the next, but here we are, Junkie Radio on a Thursday. All right. Here we go. What's going on, Brendan Fitzgerald? Welcome to Junkie Radio. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, George, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, man.
All right. Goz will join us shortly. He's recording the Legend to Legend series with Burt Watson. They got GSP, man. We're really stoked that they get to talk to him today. So he'll join us in a few, but he's excited to talk to you as well.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. Wow. I picked GSP instead of me, too.
No, listen, a few years ago, we're at the old UFC Tough Training Center, I guess they called it, the hot, smelly, stinky warehouse.
Yeah,
remember when it was 102 degrees for, you know, they would do the Ultimate Fighter, but of course, what I'm getting to is Dana White Contender Series, and I remember they brought in a new play-by-play guy, Brendan Fitzgerald. By the way, if I look like crap, it's because St. Paddy's, I went a little hard yesterday.
And did you?
I got Bell's palsy to start with. So in addition to, I don't want you to think like, dude, that guy's whacked out. But anyways, I'm powering through here, Brendan. But I'm sitting there and, you know, I'm a jerk. Honestly, I'm a jerk, Brendan. I'm not nothing special, honestly. And I'm sitting there on the steel seats. It's hot. And then I see you walk in and I told Goz, who's this fool? You know, like I'm thinking – but only for 5 seconds, because I was really happy that the UFC was starting to expand their announcer base. You know what I mean? And they were going to bring in, you know, they're starting to circle new fighters. But that's just me from the mean streets of Santa Ana. Who's this fool, you know? And then all of a sudden, man, he just started to kick ass. And I wanted to ask you to open up. How do you like it so far? After now that you've logged a few years and you've done a little bit of everything, you know, your fight nights and everything. How have you liked the job after all these years now?
Best job I've had, man. There's nothing that can equal the energy that you get to bring to this job, you know, especially with crowds, but even, you know, people always ask me, how is it without the crowds? And it's still like crazy, you know, they're fighting in there. When I was coming up in sports broadcasting, I would generally cover the major sports and, you know, that's just because of the jobs that I was in, but you would always hear Dana White, you know, from a distance, right, when he would be on SportsCenter or when he would try to, you know, get the UFC out there, like, this is going to be the biggest sport in the world one day. And you kind of roll your eyes like, yeah, okay, have you heard of the NFL and all that? But man, I know what he's talking about, because it is just this, you can't really explain what it is. I think it's just the one-on-one combat. It's happened for thousands of years where people want to watch it. And to, you know, then take full advantage of the technology that we have in this day and age, and then full advantage of the platforms that we have to distribute the sport. It really is just incredible. But I've never had a better job. I was always a studio guy, you know, covering sports. And once I crossed over into play-by-play, I was just like, man, this is just a different level of excitement for covering sports. And then you couple that with like knockouts and submissions and the high energy that this sport brings, and the fact that you're sitting there with sweaty palms. You know, if you're calling a basketball game or a football game, you don't really tense up the way that you do in a role like this. So it's wild of how far I am in the sport in just a few years, but wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Well, you've done a great job. And like I say, that mentality in our sport of what I was describing is something that I noticed. I think even when Goes and I started with Tag Radio 14 years ago, you know, I got a little bit of a shun from Sherdog and MMA Weekly. And then I noticed when we joined MMA Junkie pretty quickly. And then when that started happening and all the other sites started coming in, I was kind of like a little bit of that shunner. It's just this process where we're like, hey, this is our little thing. I sound like the mafia.
Yeah.
This is our little thing. Who's this new guy? You know what I mean? But I love it when you guys come in, and we should have known better, because John Anik did the same thing about 10 years ago. You know what? Hey, is this guy going to back up Goldie? What's going on here? You know? And then,
right, of course,
you've done a great job. And now after all these years, you've done a great job. And I love that you're now starting to funnel in some new broadcasters, because it seems like obviously Bisping's your guy, you know what I mean? You guys form a great team. But, I mean, way to really represent the sport well with your preparation and your enthusiasm. It really comes off on the computer screens, on the television. Yeah. And we're lucky to have you, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And, you know, that right there is the difference. The enthusiasm can't be faked. You know, I've covered sports in the past, and you know, sometimes you're in a strange place covering a weird thing, you know, and if you don't love it, you can still put on a smile and act for a few minutes on camera and all that stuff. But when I was in Boston, and I loved all the Boston teams, and I grew up watching them and all that, but there was a different energy. Like, my wife noticed it, and other people would notice it, and they would tell me when I would cover Bruins games, you know, mm-hmm. hockey, because I grew up loving hockey, played hockey. And when I was at like Bruins playoff games, I just had this zip on camera. You know what I mean? It was just noticeably different. And I feel like that's where I'm always in that zone when I'm doing UFC work, because I truly do just love the job every time I'm going on air, whether it's a contender series, whether it's a fight night on E+ or ESPN or a betting show or, you know, anything. It's just a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah. And you mentioned hockey. I wanted to ask you, because you've really immersed yourself in Sin City.
Yeah.
Are the things kind of like your 1A, or, you know, did you do kind of one of those things? Like Kevin Hill, he was a Pittsburgh guy, but he's like, man, Knights grew on me. How about you? How about you? Not only the Knights question, but Vegas. How's that growing on you?
Yeah. Oh, well, so I met my wife in Las Vegas in 2004. She went to UNLV. So I've had a history with Las Vegas. I lived out here in like 05, 06. And I worked at Bally's Sportsbook for a little bit. I worked at Wynn Sportsbook. So we had like this connection with the city. We'd come back and visit. We had friends here. And then when you reach a certain level of, you know, broadcast, I was, you know, in Boston at the network level, all of a sudden Vegas doesn't seem like a place where I'm ever going to land. You know, it was a fun phase in our life, but we never thought we'd come back here, because there's not a lot. ESPN didn't have a presence here. Sports gambling was still on the outside, and it was, they didn't have pro sports teams here, really. And now it's just, and I never thought of the UFC as a destination, as a broadcaster. That's a league, you know, or that's a promotion in this case. But to come back here and to be covering sports at the highest level, but also be able to live in Las Vegas, which now I consider home as an adult. I've lived here after college more than I have anywhere else. No. And, you know, the other thing is the UFC has just brought me so far into individual sports. And then when you just cover sports for a long time, you start liking the people. It becomes more about the people than the teams, you know? So I don't have this crazy affinity for Boston teams as much as I used to. It's like still good for them. And I'm not rooting against them or anything, but you know, Tom Brady was my guy and he left the Patriots. So why would I root for the Patriots? I was a Buccaneers fan this year. You know what I mean? And you know, really it's just, the UFC is the perfect vehicle for me, because I root for people now in sports, because I know too many people at the highest levels, whether they were on teams I hated or teams that I've loved. And so with the UFC and golf and individual sports like that, you can kind of pick your people that you root for. And yeah, man, I've gotten around on the Golden Knights. I think it's just so cool for the city. I'm so impressed by the arena and like where they built it all in. Like if you were going to be like, let's put a pro sports team in Las Vegas, how could you do it better than putting the arena on the strip so that out of town fans can come stay for a weekend, go in, but it's still like largely dominated by the great fan base that the Golden Knights have. I'm just so impressed by the whole setup of it. And yeah, like I'll root for the Golden Knights every time. And my, you know, family and friends in New England really hate because I'm just like, well, the Raiders are coming and I'm not moving anytime soon. So maybe I'll be a Raiders fan. They're like, you can't do that, you know? And I'm like, why not? My son's going to grow up in Vegas. I could be a Raiders fan, you know? So yeah, just like keep it fun.
You're calling your own shots. So listen, let's round it all out real quick. If you're going to bail on the Celtics, Goes and I, he'll be here soon, but we are huge Laker fans. We welcome you to the bandwagon. Oh, we're about to break anyway that we share with the Celtics. So come with us if you want. You got the invite from two OGs
in Laker Nation. Hey, you know, so I have an autographed Celtics basketball actually back there on my shelf. I don't know if you can see it. That's from like 1991 or something. But I was never huge into the NBA. You know what I mean? I played hockey, as I mentioned. So I played basketball, pick up basketball with my friends, but basketball was never my like big time sport. And then like when the Celtics sucked for a long time, like in the 90s and 2000s and whatever, they've had some good years, but before they won it in 08, they really went through some down years. And I was just like, well, I didn't ride with them through the down years. So it felt fake for me to be super happy when they won in 2008, you know? But I would always pick them over the Lakers, obviously. If you watch old Larry Bird tapes, I'm gonna side with Larry Bird every time. But you know, I feel bad that I just wrapped my head around how great Kobe was after he was gone. You know what I mean? I've watched like interviews with him after the fact and just so admire like his mentality and his work ethic and like the leadership and all the things that he brought to the table. So it's like, you know, perfect example of like, well, do I hate the Lakers and do I hate Kobe because he's just good at everything and you admire a lot about him, you know? So guys like Kobe and you know, LeBron, like I'm a LeBron fan too. I think he gets hate on too much by all his haters. And obviously he's got a lot more fans, I would think. But, you know, good for the Lakers. They won last year. I'm not going to hate it like most Celtics fans would.
I think the times have changed for sure. Oh, there he is. Hey, guys, welcome.
The bat signal went off. I heard Lakers and I just had to bail and
you know, I think the eras have changed as well, Brendan, where before, you know, like you wouldn't even dare utter the other team's names because like you mentioned, Bird days, Bird and Magic days. I mean, you remember the McHale clothesline, you know, and Danny and Worthy and McAdoo, and these guys used to go at each other. And then we go into the Bad Boys phase when Detroit starts to come in and, of course, the Bulls later on. But I think something about everyone having cable and being able to stream everything, you know, now you've been able to just enjoy, like, the whole NBA. And, sure, you have your favorite team, but I don't think it's – before it was almost like a gang mentality, you know what I mean? Like, this is my squad and I'm willing to throw down for it. So,
yeah.
I don't blame you one bit. I really love the part about you want to ride with your son, and if that's his squad, then it's going to be our squad together. I think
right. He's growing up in Vegas. Whoever he's going to like, we're all like right along with him.
Yeah. All right, Brendan. So let me ask you a couple other quick things here. As a play-by-play announcer, I wanted to ask you about some of the stuff that's going on in the last couple shows, where you know eye pokes and knees have stopped a few fights early. And what I've come to find out is this goes for everybody. Everybody doesn't know all the rules just yet. In fact, some of the refs are still, you could see there's this hesitancy and struggle, like, okay, as they're processing and going through their steps. And I want to ask you, and I'm going to ask Anik this the next time we have him on as well. Do you believe, like, a lot's going to start resting more on your shoulders, your guys' shoulders, to clarify and let the audience know so that this thing doesn't start to unravel and people start saying, oh, funny business, they want this, they want that, they don't know what they're doing. Because even like I say, even the color commentators, they're never going to be as brushed up on you guys. I'm finding that the flow chart almost goes to, was it intentional or accidental? Let's start there. We know the foul was illegal. And then from there, what are our options? How have you processed the last few weeks? And what do you think going forward, how much of it maybe can ride on your shoulders to
I think it's interesting. It's funny that the fighters, some of the fighters, you know, some of the fighters don't know. And I'm not saying they know that it's illegal to throw a knee when the knee's down for the most part, but you know, some of them don't know. And it's like, I don't know. It's like, I just call it as I see it. And then from what I understand, there is so much gray area, you know, like I've seen kind of some reactions on Twitter, like the broadcasters don't even know the rules. And it's just like, no, I do know the rules. That was an illegal knee. And now it will be on her team to determine if it do. Like there is still a lot of discretion to the referee. So in terms of my input, I try to walk fans through in that situation what I know to be the possible outcomes. You know, there's an illegal knee. Okay, here's the deal. You know, we'll get the doctor in. Ultimately, Herb Dean is going to take control of the situation. Whoever the referee is, their job to take control of the situation. Now, Herb asked the doctor flat out, should he fight? You know, he put it on the doctor and the doctor said no, so he waved it off. But then all of a sudden it's back in Herb's court, the referee's court, in terms of how are they going to call this? How is he going to deem it? Is it going to be an illegal knee DQ win for Darren Stewart? Or is it just going to be a no contest? And, you know, there was talk of like, oh, it didn't go two full rounds. That's not true. If you have a blatant, you know, if a guy's on a knee and another guy comes up and soccer kicks him, it's going to be a DQ, whether it happens 30 seconds into the fight or 10 minutes into the fight. So I think from my role, from a play-by-play role, it's explaining the possible outcomes. And then it's up to the referee ultimately to make the decision, you know, and it's not about, you know, I think anybody with two eyes can see that Piotr Jan's knee was a lot different than the one that Eric Anders threw. Like, you know, same, you know, some people are like, well, how did he get his belt taken away because of that? It's like, are you kidding me? Like Aljamain Sterling was on the ground dizzy for minutes and he was not acting, you know, and you know, Darren Stewart, on the other hand, blocked the knee and was able to say, like, I want to fight and was walking forward. And some doctors might have let him fight. You know, I'm not a trained medical professional. So, like, that's how different it can be. If you just said illegal knee, DQ, one of them is different than the other. And we've seen that over the years. We've seen fights continue after knees if they were deemed not that bad or, you know, not certainly not as high impact. And we've seen fights being called. And, you know, I'm not going to say that we should continue more fights or whatever. Obviously, you know, the health of the fighter in that situation needs to be taken, you know, the number one spot there. And then with the eye pokes, man, I don't know. You know, the gloves are what they are. I don't know if we're going to change the gloves. I don't know if there's any talk to change the gloves. I don't know how much that fixes. I don't know how much that takes away from grappling if you change the gloves. That's something where, like, I'm just not an expert enough to even figure it out. So, you know, I try to tell people that don't really know. It's like if somebody's going to reach at you and you're going to swipe them away, you're going to do so with an open hand or a closed fist. It's very unnatural to try to do that with a closed fist. So obviously, you know, the fingers extended can be an issue. And you hate when a fight ends because of it. And unfortunately, that's what we had. And I've been on it for two main events now, Mexico and this last one, where our main event has been called because of an eye poke, which, you know, it's just too bad. I don't know what the fix is. But I tell people all the time, too, or I kind of think this to wrap my head around it. The NFL, when it was 28 years old, was very different looking than it is right now. We have to realize how young our sport is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's still a baby. You know, think about baseball in 1910 and what it is today and stuff like that. So when you put it in terms of that with MMA, there's just a lot more eyeballs on us because of technology and streaming and cable and the fact that the world can watch everything, but we are still a very young sport. And I think it's important to keep that in mind.
Brandon, I'm going to white knight for you for a second here. All right. Okay. I am a huge play-by-play guy. Whenever you think of memories in your head, whether it's when you were a little guy and you watched pro wrestling, I'm not coming at the adults that still watch, but, or just some of them big calls, you hear that play-by-play voice and it's just ingrained in your head. Here's what I want to ask you. It hasn't been until recently that now we've switched to this kind of three-man booth. It was two-man for a very long time. But the play-by-play job to me seems more difficult because the commentator, the color commentators, they want to call play-by-play and they want to give their opinions. And sometimes I feel like we get away from hearing your magic, you know, John Anik's magic, that the painting of the picture.
Right.
What has it been like for you, three-man booths? Am I just making things up, or does this ever happen? Do you guys ever have to kind of get together and remind each other, hey, guys, we got a structure that we got to keep to? Because I do miss sometimes the play-by-play person painting that picture for me.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like a three-man booth. I actually like it a good bit. I think that it gives the viewer a lot more in terms of information and able to watch along. So, you know, so the two-man booth, it's just me back and forth with whoever, let's say Bisping or Feld or whatever. If he's not talking, then we're either silent or I'm talking. So, yeah, there's certainly more talking involved, but a three-man booth to me allows for more nuanced description of what's happening in a fight. You know, like last week when DC and Bisping are going back and forth on grappling exchanges or what they're noticing, they're kind of bouncing ideas off of each other that I can't really join in on that conversation in terms of the knowledge and expertise and what to look for. And I think that's really good for fans to hear. The other thing is, over the course of you know, 6 hours on a broadcast or more, depending on how many fights, it's pretty good to be able to save your voice for everybody, I think, where it's just a little bit of less of a load on the vocals, so that when you get to the bigger fights later in the night, everyone's still got a full gas tank. It hasn't really been a problem for me to think that I've had moments stolen away from me, but that is something, and that's not for me to tell them. That's for our, you know, bosses. That's for our coordinating producer, you know, our VP of productions. That's for them to kind of make sure they know, hey, if there's a big finish, John, Brendan, whoever, let them have the big call. And then you guys will take us through the replays and you guys can talk after and react to it. They can have that reaction that everybody has of like, oh my goodness. But in terms of putting the stamp on the moment, that do live on features and fight promotions and highlight reels and all that sort of stuff. Like, yeah, they are supposed to kind of sit back for a moment, let us have those big calls, because that's kind of what we're there to ultimately do. And then kind of come in and fill in the gaps. But yeah, I haven't really had an issue with it yet. Certainly less talking, but when you're talking as much as you are over the course of 6 hours, then it's kind of welcomed. I like the dynamic that a three-man booth can bring.
We've talked to multiple fighters who have said, every fight for me, I'm nervous. I feel that energy. It's like the first day of school again. For yourself, you've called so many fights. You've been through this process so many times. What is it like for you?
The nerves, man, they kind of disappear. Like, I always tell people I am nervous anytime I'm at a new job. So, you know, first on-air job, super nervous day one, day two, and then all of a sudden it just kind of goes away. And then, you know, your next new job, then you're really nervous at first because it's a new studio, it's new surroundings, it's new bosses, it's new coworkers, everything's new. So you kind of have to like prove yourself all over again. But once you're off and running, like that's it. So I was really nervous for the first Dana White's Contender Series, but you know, really I was nervous for the start of the show. Once you get through the start of the show, then you're just on TV and you have no choice but to like get in it and do as best you can and not really worry about it. And then same thing with the first UFC show, super nervous. That was the biggest broadcast I had done to that point, longest show I'd ever done, biggest audience. I'd never been like on FS1, you know, we had like a million viewers that night. And so nervous for that one. And then, you know, wasn't nervous in St. Louis a month later, wasn't nervous in Brazil like a few weeks after that. You just kind of like get into the flow of it. I guess the only time that I stood alone as like I was nervous again was in Brasilia last year. Because it just felt like this huge, huge thing that we were doing. The rest of the sports world shut down. All of a sudden, our UFC card in Brasilia became ESPN, the only live sport going on, you know? And what I did was I thought about that aspect of it too much, you know? And then it was just so different without the crowd. And the world was so different and stressed just being in a foreign country when the world's falling apart with COVID in the first few days. So that was pretty nervous. But other than that, like, you know, it's a much different job than fighting. I'd probably get nervous every time I fought too, but luckily, you know, sitting in a nice suit next to the octagon is not nearly as nerve-wracking.
I could think of another time you were nervous, Brendan. Mexico.
Honestly, I wasn't really nervous with that. I was just kind of like, let me just talk through it, you know, protect myself on three sides and go forward. Like, you know, I wasn't like shaking in my boots down there. Just kind of talking through a crazy situation.
I'm just busting your balls. I was at a Blink 182 concert. Actually, I was at a, I don't know if you know, the Weenie Roast in Irvine once a year, but Blink 182's up there, and they're standing there in their Converse, Chuck Taylor's, and I believe they were almost nude. Anyway, that's the way they're doing it. And all of a sudden, one of them says, "Start throwing your food." And the Irvine Amphitheater, it was called back then, it was like 19,000 people. And everyone's throwing stuff, you know. It was basically a huge food fight. And I remember just standing there at first. I was with a chick. We were on a date. And I remember at first just kind of like using some head movement, moving. Things were flying. And then all of a sudden, things were flying, Brendan. Yeah. Including some one of the bands had given away some CDs. Those started flying like little missiles, like this. And all of a sudden,
people are throwing, man.
It's out of control. It's out of control until you've experienced it. So. Trust me, you had the right idea, man. Mexico, you never know, man. When Mexico plays USA, they're throwing bags of urine. I don't know if you've ever heard those stories. Soccer teams get crazy, so you did the right thing.
I just didn't want to risk it, man. You know, I was just like, I was calm the whole time, but I was just like, let me just protect myself as best I can and stay calm on air.
We've enjoyed having you today, buddy. We got more questions, but I know you have a huge weekend, so let's do a part two sometime.
And absolutely.
In fact, once COVID really opens up, we'd love to have you at the Mandalay Bay at our studio, and we can have a proper sit down so we can catch up on everything else. Because we got questions about your hockey career. I was curious about and things like that. So we'll do a part two sometime. And again, you're doing an outstanding job. And, you know, not that you needed mine and Goz is welcome to MMA, but seriously, we really, really have enjoyed a lot of the additions of all the talent, on-air talent in the past few years. You guys are knocking it out of the park.
I appreciate you guys. I'll come on anytime. Got a betting show later today. Got the play-by-play this weekend. My podcast fits.
Yeah.
Thank you for throwing that in there. But I'm happy to sit down with you guys at length on a less busier week, but definitely glad to join you. And I really appreciate the kind words a lot. I was warned about MMA Twitter and you know how unforgiving the fan base can be, but they've been good to me overall, man. And I think it's just they want to see the passion that they have shared on screen, and I truly have it. So I think that's why it's fit nicely together.
Yeah, we got a true polished professional calling our sport, and that's great. So that's why I think you've gotten so much love. It's well deserved. Thanks again. And
thanks, guys.
We'll do this soon and good break a leg on Saturday.
All right. Thank you, George. Thanks, Ghost. Have a good day.
Thank you.
There you have it, folks. That's Brendan Fitzgerald. Catch his podcast, Fitz Nation, as well, where he sits down once a week to talk to different guests. Like recently, he's had Chris Dacus, the heavyweight who's also a police officer. Grant Dawson was a guest of his. Brad Tavares was a recent guest of his as well. Check it out. I check it out on Apple Podcasts. So that's usually where I guide people. Seems to be pretty seamless and easy, especially if you have the whole iPhone stuff. And anyway, all right, Goes. So we have UFC on ESPN 21 on Saturday, and then Brendan will be on the call. So I think we've looked back enough between Junkie Radio, our social media, Spinning Back Click, and of course, Goes and I also produce work on Patreon, Triple G Show. Check that out. This weekend, man, I don't know if we've like psyched ourselves up enough for Brunson versus Kevin Holland, because you know we got March Madness, St. Patrick's Day. It's been pretty crazy, but Holland is back at it again after a well-deserved break, and he's up against the guy who, if you can get past Derek Brunson, that tells us you're legit, because Brunson's a very, very tough out. In fact, he's a guy remember when he took it to Whitaker early on in that fight? I mean, things could have really reversed its course in a different way if he had actually gotten that win. I really like Derek Brunson, you know, but he's always seemed to be that stiff test that tells us whether you're for real or not, and that's where Kevin Holland is at on Saturday.
I went over this, so we have to turn in our staff picks, right, before Wednesday. And I went over this main event quite a few times. And I wanted to go Holland. I like the kid. I think he's very talented. But people just forget how tough Derek Brunson is. And he's had a lot of fights where, if you look at his record, he was like one punch or one instance away from that record looking completely different, right? But that story isn't told in the record. So I ended up going with Derek Brunson, George. I think a lot of people don't realize just how hard he can hit, how big he is, how athletic he is. I think there's going to be a moment where he catches Holland, and I ended up going with Derek Brunson on this one.
All right. I don't know if Big Mouth is going to be, but the guy went 5-0 in 2020. Like, all right. Well, I just finished telling you Brunson's a tough guy, so I guess I can't really make too big of a deal out of it, but we'll see. We'll see. In the co-main event, Gregor Gillespie's back, and he's been gone for about, I think, a year and a half. The Kevin Lee KO hasn't been back since then. He's facing Brad Riddell, who fights out of the City Kickboxing Gym in New Zealand. And, of course, we know that gym has produced some really, really good fighters. A few have taken a few losses, like Hooker and Adesanya as of late. A few have been winning, like Kaikara France. But either way, it's an established gym that prepares their fighters well. Who do you like in this one? Do you think Gregor, you know, I don't know if you kind of read and caught up on some of the stuff he was saying, that this took some pressure off him, you know, being undefeated, and he feels he's going to come back stronger after that KO, almost like he welcomed the KO in a way. Of course, no one would ever welcome a KO like that, but maybe the result and how it possibly has grounded him moving forward.
This, I have nothing to back this, so I don't want people to run with this or anything like that. But there are different levels of KOs. And the one that Gregor suffered, the manner in which his brain was completely shut off by Kevin Lee, I think that's very difficult to come back from. I think that's career changing. I think the fact that he's taken so much time might point to that. That's something that when he steps in the cage, he's going to have to work through at the moment and in front of millions of people. It's very difficult to do. However, I feel like maybe they gave him a tailor-made opponent for this situation. If he can just stick to what he does best, because his hands have sort of developed, you know, they've gotten better. But if he can just go out there and wrestle, I think he's going to be fine. But I do think he has a lot of demons to work through in this fight.
First time he gets hit, yeah. Will be good and bad. If he can get through it, I think it'll be good. And then obviously if he's rocked, who knows if he just goes into a shell or whatever.
He's a guy that's going to benefit from the situation that we're in now. And that's the fact that when he steps into the cage and he visualizes things, it's going to look different to him. There are no fans, right? So it's going to make him feel more like what he's been preparing, how he's been preparing in a gym, you know, where there's no fans. That should make him feel more comfortable. If he had to do the walkout with fans and all that, then that's kind of replicating a little bit of what happened in his last fight. And I could see how something like that starts to build in your mind. But the fact that he's doing it in front of no fans, I think that's going to help him. And I think the opponent is going to help him a little bit because he's a tough out. Nobody, remember, there was a time when nobody wanted to fight this guy.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot to prove here. But that KO might be one of the most vicious ones I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he would wrestle you to death, and he had endless cardio. You're right, man. There's the old, well, I'm going to go to bed, and you just turn off the light. Then there's the old inclement weather that shuts down your house, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then there's that one, like, when you're watching a movie and you just see a complete blackout of a whole city, you know what I mean? And that's right. What his was. When Kevin connected with him, we had such an angle of his face, and to see him just turn off and then hit his head back, I was like, whoa. Like, I remember just thinking that one was pretty bad. And I've seen a lot of bad ones, but that one's really, really up there. Also, I'm going to jump around here. I'm really excited about Cheyenne Bay looks like her name looks like Buys, B-U-Y-S, but it's Cheyenne mm-hmm. Bay. Telling you folks, we've said it before, excuse me. We call her tough at, we called her fight at Tough Enough. And she, her name was Cheyenne Velasquez, I believe, back then. And she was impressive. She was always like in shape and good shape and looked like there was some raw skills there. And, you know, she progressed through as a pro. And I just remember thinking, well, I don't think she's going to result, you know, in a professional that really makes their mark. There you go. And honestly, the bar was raised for us because we saw Ronda Rousey go through Tough Enough, you know, so we're a little spoiled there. And she definitely wasn't a Ronda Rousey starting off, but goes when she came back, when she relocated to South Africa and then Texas, when she came back on Contender Series and fought, I couldn't believe the, I don't know that I've seen improvement of a fighter like that in a certain amount of years of time, where she impressed me that much. And look at me, I mean, my tail's wagging waiting for her fight on Saturday because she was vicious, bro. And then she talked a little bit of smack. Remember, she was, I think she was telling Dana to follow her. She just had it all, man. It all came right away. Good for her.
I think even during the fight, she was talking smack. She was a lot of fun. Yeah. And you can tell she just, it. You know, we would catch her in the gym every now and again. And when you look at Extreme Couture and the roster that goes through there, there are some high-level female talent in there. And she would do really well. So, but it wasn't until we actually saw her in the fight that we could tell, wow, okay, that transferred over. She has gotten a lot better. Add in the charisma, which is something that Dana White loves, and you can just tell the look on his face that night. He was really happy. I think she's one of those girls that can make waves, and her route to wherever it is she wants to go can be a little shorter if she can continue to fight the way she does and kind of market herself the way she does. Even if it's, I mean, I know sometimes we say, like, if it's four fights for her, it's three. Like, one fight's a big deal, guys. That, you know, sometimes they don't even, they just fight once a year. So that little shortcut is good. And I think people are going to like her. I think she's a great fighter. So I'm excited to see her again. That's what's so great about her performance is, I'm not saying everybody was like that, but at least George and I, it made us be excited for the next time that she fights. And that's what I think every fighter should be looking to do.
Yeah. Gustavo Lopez from Extreme Couture is fighting. We'll be curious to see how he does. Max Griffin, good friend of the show, he's fighting. Tai Tuivasa, he'll be fighting and doing shoeys later on, I'm sure. Marion Renault, does she still have gas left in the tank? We had a great interview with her a few months ago. Respect her a ton. She's a teacher during the day and a fighter at night. She's got Macy Chisson, though. She's not an easy out. She's really, really a tough fighter, so I'm excited about that. Leandro Santos, who just kind of dips in and dips out from time to time, he's fighting, but I think he's like 40 years old, holds some really, really nice wins, including one Kevin Lee. He's fighting Grant Dawson, who's 16-1 and started off his career wonderfully. So check out the fights on Saturday. They start at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2, and then they move over to Big ESPN. That's why it's called UFC on ESPN 21. This one will be a 7 p.m. Pacific start, 10 p.m. Eastern, and that's for the main card. That's what time the main card starts. So that's a late night. I'm not going to lie to you. The main card starts at 10 p.m. Eastern. You East Coasters aren't going to like this one, and it's a six-fight main card, so it's going to probably end maybe even later than a pay-per-view. However, what it does is it also avoids March Madness, which kicks off on Friday instead of today. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here, to tell you the truth. And March Madness is actually going on right now. So the NC2As, their tournaments, they started at 8 a.m. on ESPNU. They're going to dip into ESPN2 at some point and even ESPN on Friday. So I think they're going to finally have a little bit of a spotlight on them that they haven't had in the past, because March Madness, the NC2A Wrestling Championships, they go at the same time as March Madness, and March Madness dwarfs March Madness. But for one day, because for this year, because they're delaying March Madness gets some shine today. So check it out if you want to see some good collegiate wrestling. You often hear us talk about Mark Munoz, Daniel Cormier, Michael Chandler, Tyron Woodley, Phil Davis. They all had moments in this tournament where they became an All-American or even a finalist or even a national champion. Johnny Hendricks, that list honestly can go on and on. Check it out. This is the big tournament that everyone talks about. Again, ESPNU is where they're going on right now. This is the first round. The second round will be later on in the evening, and they'll switch that to ESPN2. Then tomorrow you have March Madness and March Madness, and then it's fucking over at that point. I don't know that I'm going to remember much about what this week was like between yesterday's St. Paddy's Day, everything I just told you, fights on Saturday, crazy times. This is one of my favorite weekends of the year.
Have you looked at some of the odds for the fights? I don't know why, but I feel like some of them are off. I think Marion Renault is too big of an underdog in her fight. I think Grant Dawson's too big of a favorite in his fight. I just remember looking at them yesterday and going, what? Like, they just seemed a little off to me. But I don't do this as much as you. So I was kind of curious if you were feeling the same thing.
Well, I'm looking at them right now. And, oh, yeah, Dontel Mays, by the way, is out of his fight versus Tai Tuivasa. He's been replaced by Harry Hunsucker. Holland, okay, he's a minus 180 favorite. Griffin's a minus 200 favorite. Adrian Yanez, minus 225. Hmm. I mean, Santos, what he's done has been pretty amazing, honestly. You're right. Maybe that should be a little bit closer to even. Renault, that's tough because Chasson, I think it was the Swedish gal who put it on her once, and it cost me some money. And I remember just backing off of Macy Chasson. Because when I saw Macy Chasson beat Penny, what's her last name?
Penny. Just call her Penny.
Penny, there you go. Pianzad, I believe is the last name. I was very impressed, and I thought we were looking at a possible future champion. But she's coming along slow. She's pretty – I like her, man. I really do like Macy Chasson, so we'll see. But I remember she took a loss. It was to Lena, I believe her name is, or one of the Swedish gals. I could look it up right now. And I remember thinking, okay, slow down. Her progress just isn't moving as quickly. Sometimes I get a little too excited, and I really start thinking somebody's championship material, and then I'll bet them, and then I get checked. And then I have to, like, hang back a little bit. But I think she's going to win. I think Chasson's going to win. But I think Renault's going to be very, very competitive. So, yeah, I probably would probably look to put Renault in a parlay somewhere. Because I don't want to give up too much on someone that has cost me. Landsberg, Lena Landsberg. Thank you to Gally from Toronto, saving the day, as always. He's my near. He's my conciliary, yeah. Dana White needs a conciliary. I've always said I would easily do that job. You know how many times he sits there and they ask him a question? He goes, hey, when's tough start? You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be something a little bit more seamless than that.
George, I am an idiot, okay? I'm just going to give you your stun gun for this week. So, you know when you came in and you were like, hey, should I start preparing to do a one-man show and all that? I don't know why, but in my head, maybe it was just the confusion of yesterday. I just put it in my head that our show starts at 10 a.m. I have no idea. And it doesn't make sense because I scheduled the show for 9 a.m. When I set this all up, I go in there and I hit 9 a.m. But for some reason in my head, I had it that we had 10 a.m. So I'm thinking, man, this guy thinks from this point on, we're going to go even more, like an hour and a half. I'm like, we'll be fine, baby. It wasn't until you sent that text where you go, we're like 1 minute away. And I went, oh, my God, it's nine. And it all just kind of, I couldn't believe it. So as far as being a consigliere, I'm the last guy you want there because I can't even get our own showtime right. But I don't know what happened. I didn't really sleep very well last night, but I can't even blame it on that. Like, I have no idea how I could have got that in my head.
You spaced it. Because the other day, I remember telling you, hey, you booked this kind of close to overlapping, and you had this calm demeanor, like, hey, like, no big deal. And I was like, wow, usually he's the one that's more uptight, and I'm the one going, ah, it'll be all right, you know? So, yeah, you, I don't know. I mean, I say it every week. Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific here on Sportscaster. Catch MMA Junkie Radio. We're here for an hour with you live. We'll always have a guest for you. We had Brendan Fitzgerald early, and I can tell you we're going to have Randy Couture on Monday's show. Also, on March 27th, so what? We're a week away on Saturday. It'll be a week, and that's UFC 260. Francis Ngannou is going to try and take the title of baddest man on the planet as he challenges Stipe Miocic for the UFC Undisputed Heavyweight title. And Brian Ortega, he's going to try and put L.A. Can you do the goes? L.A.? You know how he does it? On the map as he tries to wrest the UFC Undisputed Featherweight title from Alexander Volkanovski. So we got two title fights. UFC 260, March 27th. Join us here on Sportscaster on this channel. You should just subscribe so that you can get all the notifications. Excuse me, when we go on live, we'll be in there. I'm just going to start saying 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. I'll tell you why I say 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, because that's technically when the pay-per-view starts. And then I always follow it up by saying, we have so much fun doing this. We'll probably dip in early, and we usually do. So 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, we'll be in there. We might as well just start billing it that way. There's no sense in someone showing up at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific when we've already been having fun for an hour. So hang with us on our UFC 260 watch along next Saturday. And again, on Monday, Randy Couture will be our guest. So, and any of the shows you missed, by the way, you can just simply scroll and all the windows there for previous shows show up. So check it out. Hey, real quick, we've already talked a little bit about Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal. It just kind of got thrown out there on Monday. They're headlining UFC 261, I believe, on April 24th. I imagine we're going to do a watch-along for that one. Masvidal's big business. But what really has kind of been swept under the rug a little bit, at least from the people I'm talking with, because no one has an issue with the card. We got three title fights, Usman versus Masvidal, Shevchenko versus Andrade, and Zhang Weili, she defends against Rose Namajunas. No problems there. I love that one. But it's in front of fans, goes 15,000 fans, no mask mandate in Jacksonville. I don't want to get political or anything, but is now the time, or should they have waited just a little bit more as these vaccinations keep coming through? I'm happy for Matt Erickson. He got his the other day. Kevin Ioli told me he got his. Richard Hunter got his. Sam Alljam, good friend of the show, he got his. So it seems like we're all starting to get there, and I think this could have held off maybe to, I think, a good splash, because the return of MMA for the UFC with fans and all could have been International Fight Week.
Yeah, I think it might be a little too early. Even, I'll put it to you this way, even if they would have said, we're going to have half of that, I probably still would have cringed a little bit, like, ooh. Okay, but if you just look at all the major sports, right, like NBA, MLB, NFL, nobody really seems to be going in that direction. Like if there was a game tomorrow, which there is in the NBA and the NHL, nobody really seems to be going that way. So I don't really understand why. Well, obviously, I guess the answer is out there very easily. It's money. But yeah, they just kind of jumped right back from 0 to 100 really, really quickly. I think they could have waited a little bit, but I mean, I'm not going to go. You know, the people that are going to go aren't going to be caught by surprise. They know. So at the end of the day, it's just every person's own personal choice and their preference and what they believe and their responsibilities. And I guess if that's how they want to do it. But if you were to ask me, if I was in charge, I would have said, I think maybe we need to wait a little bit more on that.
Yeah, I think what I would have said was, okay, if you're going to have the 15,000, just make everyone wear a mask. I was out last night for St. Patrick's Day. You think I wanted to be wearing a mask while I'm partying, drinking, having my drinks and being with buddies? No, not really, but I did it because I just knew that, and I'm a vaccinated person, so I just knew that we're almost there, and this will be the last year. And like our sports book is only, I think, 50% of capacity. So that won't be the same. But as I'm talking to people, everybody's telling me, yeah, let's just accept it. Some of us made it out here. But next year, you know, everything should be good. But it's just bad timing. But we're almost there. You know, I like the positivity of most people. I was a little bit surprised. I was surprised, but then I wasn't because, you know, they're going to Jacksonville, Florida. We know Florida's a state where they're just not really wearing the mask. And half the country just isn't into it. You know what I mean? But the lead of other sports usually tells you a lot, too. And that's why I know it's not wacky. The both March Madness and March Madness are in bubbles. And the NBA and the NHL that I watched yesterday, very limited fans. You know, the Vegas Golden Knights, shout out to those guys. They were down 3-1 going into the third period, and then they came back and had a 5-3 lead and then held them off and won 5-4. But they had very limited fans. But I saw a lot of them staggering like hobos after the game into the Park MGM, the Aria. They had their jerseys on. They had a good time. Again, it wasn't the same, but we're getting there, you know. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But that was one thing I know that it didn't get talked about as much. And if you are planning on going, just please use common sense and don't forget about who you're coming home to. That's the scary thing about the virus is you just some people don't know that they have it and they're asymptomatic. And it's, you know, you might be a strong young fellow, but can you possibly bring it home to somebody who isn't? That's what people care about, honestly. It's not like we're against your freedoms or anything like that. We just care about can you possibly hurt another person, another one of your loved ones? Like Go said, he's not going, I'm not going. So I know that I'm not going to be possibly infecting myself or someone else. But if you are, just kind of keep that in mind, all right? I'm not telling you don't go, but if you go, think about putting on that mask and think about who you're coming home to. And we'll end that part right there. Do you want to add something?
Yeah, I just want to, you said something very interesting, and you said, you know, the major sports, what they're doing, and people usually follow them. But what's kind of interesting is when all this went down last year around this time, it was actually the UFC, I think, that kind of stepped forward and put a blueprint out for everyone else, which I thought was kind of interesting. And I don't know if that's the philosophy here with this move. Is they just feel like, hey, we're going to do this, and maybe all the other sports look and say, it wasn't as bad as we thought or whatever, and they take a page out of MMA again. But that being said, and I know we've talked about this multiple times, but that first step that the UFC took wasn't easy, and it didn't go off without a hitch. But it is kind of interesting that now mixed martial arts has a little bit more balls, I think, when it comes to their placement amongst the bigger sports. Before, it was just such a major victory to even see a headline on ESPN or something, right? And now they got their own tab.
It's not that I don't appreciate Dana White's hustle. I really do, man. You know, like you could hear Blachowicz telling him, hey, thank you. Thank you for letting me work this past year. Thank you for letting me, you know, provide for my family. And of course, we all know he's got a newborn. We heard that from a lot of fighters. It was very, very important for them, you know, and he didn't let any of his 300 plus employees go here in Vegas. And that again was commendable as well, but you can still do all that and still just kind of bring it back the way it's supposed to be back. Not tap dance around the regulations, but, that's it. It's going to go down. I'm going to watch it. I don't want to be a hypocrite. It's just my initial thoughts. It's what I feel. You know, and I hope you all know that it's genuine. Aside from that goes, Paulo Costa's out. Kelvin Gastelum plugged right in. And I remember Marvin Vettori telling us, or maybe it wasn't even us, him just saying, if Costa and Whitaker has a problem, I'll be ready. But he's so close to Darren Till that I think it just didn't make sense for him. But Kelvin Gastelum in a good place, right? Ready to go against Robert Whittaker, because Paulo Costa apparently got the flu.
He always is, right? Kelvin Gastelum's career, when you look back at it, I think he's a guy that's going to make a lot of money. And I'm trying to, like, it's sort of similar to what Donald Cerrone has done in his career, where he just kind of stays ready. He takes fights when they need him. I'm sure he's cashing pretty big paychecks. That Marvin Vettori fight in Darren Till, though, I've kind of gone over it in my head, and I don't know what the fuck's going to happen in that fight. Those two guys hit so hard and neither one gives one inch. They can't possibly beat on each other for that long. Like, I think somebody's got to go out. That's going to be a really tough fight. But Marvin Vettori, I'm a big fan of him. I'm a fan of his style. I'm a fan of the things he says. And if he can get a win there, and especially, like I said, I just can't see that going to a decision, he's going to put himself in a really, really nice spot.
It wasn't until his last fight that I became a believer. I knew he was good, but I think some of it had to do with the fact that he lost to Izzy early on, and Izzy's gotten so much better. And Marvin also has this style where he's very, very, like, tense, and sometimes he looks like he's just either staggering or struggling, but now I've gotten used to his style, and it is a pressure style, and he's thick, he's a hard hitter, he's confident as can be, and he's gotten, like I say, a lot better, and now I'm a firm believer that he's going to be one of those top five guys for the next 3 years, maybe more, and he could possibly compete for a belt. Can he win it? That's still the tough one, because I consider Izzy undefeated, at least as a middleweight. We know that he's 0-1 as a light heavyweight, and he's been making it look even easier and easier in some of his fights. So we shall see, but these are the tests. These are the tests you got to take. And now Vettori and Till have a great opportunity, because if Gastelum can get Whitaker out of the way, then it's like open floodgates, you know what I mean? But if Whitaker beats Gastelum, that'll be three in a row. That'll be a murderer's row of Gastelum, Cannoneer, and Till for Whitaker. You just can't deny him versus Israel Adesanya. So, you know, Gastelum has a chance to ruin the party. And I don't think it'll be him that gets the shot right away if he beats Whitaker, unless the winner of Vettori and Till, it's a Derek Lewis, Francis Ngannou fight, you know, where everyone leaves disappointed. But there's good possibilities going on here. And let's not also discount Brunson and Holland. I'm sure they're going to say, hey, what about us? You know, talk about us as well. And we will.
Mm-hmm. Did Ngannou and Derek Lewis take the monkey off of Gonzaga and the Shaman? What was his name? Remember that? It's funny, too, because we were at both of those fights.
It was a knockout, didn't it?
It did, but it was dog shit until that moment.
Was that Matt Hughes versus Rich Franklin at the MGM?
I think so, yeah.
That fight sucked.
Jordan. Sean Jordan
walked him out, right? And so everybody was like, oh, okay, I guess we can live with that. The worst one ever, honestly, was probably Shamrock and Severn.
Oh, yeah.
When they had to go open hand, I think they could only slap each other or something like that. And But then Lewis and Ngannou, the expectations were so high, because it's not like Shamrock and Severn were devastating KO one punch power guys. So these two are. So for them two to just be tentative and be so respectful of each other, but at the same time, I guess, fearful of the outcome, you know, for 15 minutes to go by, that. You know, and I hope them two can honestly laugh at it as well, because it's gone. And since then, they've been fucking people up. But yeah, man, I just remember going, I can't believe what's unfolding. I just can't believe what's unfolding. And it was one of the bigger letdowns for me. Mm-hmm. Man. All right, folks, listen, we got to get on out of here pretty soon. I got to get some water in me. I'm a little dehydrated. But as always, thank you for sharing your Mondays and Thursday mornings with us, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, here on Sportscaster. We'll always go an hour with you guys here, and we'll 99% of the time have a guest. I want to thank Brendan Fitzgerald. We didn't get to cover everything. And again, a quick plug for his podcast, Fitz Nation, where he sits down with guests, primarily fighters, once a week and interviews them. Recent guests of his have been Grant Dawson, Brad Tavares, Chris Dacus was another one that I remember hearing that he's the police officer who won recently, heavyweight, same card as when Arlovsky fought and Aspinall fought or whatever. Drew Dober's also been a recent guest of his as well. So check it out there on Apple Podcasts. on March 27th, Ghost and I will host a watch along here on Sportscaster, here on our channel, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for that pay-per-view, which means we'll be with you for a couple prelims and then the fight main card, which includes Stipe Miocic versus Francis Ngannou and Alexander Volkanovski against Brian Ortega. And lastly, on Monday, we'll have Randy Couture. He'll be our guest here on Junkie Radio. We'll talk to him about the upcoming PFL season. And, boy, I don't know that we've talked to him or seen him. A, we haven't been at the gym as much because of the pandemic. But then that accident goes, you know, about 6 months ago. Close call there. I don't know that we've talked to him since then, have we?
No, I think we talked to him one time outside of it, but not on the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Folks, enjoy the weekend. Don't forget, the NC2A Wrestling Championships have already begun on ESPNU. It's called March Madness. They're on right now. You can check it out. It's the first round. The second round will be tonight on ESPN2. And then tomorrow, of course, is the March Madness basketball tournament. I mean, technically, there's some play-in games today that will fill out the 64-game team bracket that'll officially start tomorrow. But this is a good weekend where you can kind of pay some attention to some NCAA wrestling. That's actually pretty exciting if you kind of sit down and watch it. It's just that it goes head up versus March Madness every year, and that part kind of sucks. Goz and I have tried having the studio TV on March Madness while we're watching all the screens in March Madness. And occasionally we'll turn around and there's a couple nice wrestling matches going on, but it's just that March Madness is almost so magnetic, man, with everything that goes on at one time, all the games, all the buzzer beaters, all the first to 15 bets. That's why I really wish they could just schedule it differently, but I don't know. We've said that for the last 10, 15 years, and it hasn't happened. Anyhow, folks, we're going to bow on out of here. On social media, Goz is at the Goz. I am at MMA Junkie George. The radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. And we will see you all on Monday. Enjoy the fights this weekend. And don't forget to always keep it locked on MMA Junkie. We cover the sport. We're the best in the business. And you'll get all the information for all the fights that have happened and that are upcoming. So check it out. All right, folks, we're out of here. Go out there and be a champion.